You always hear about these people going berserk on flights. This one guy was on a Southwest flight. He started going nuts over a screaming baby. Wait till you hear this.
That child has been crying for 40 minutes. Calm the child down, please. I had headphones on. I was sleeping. Why is the baby yelling? I'm not screaming. You want me to scream? You want me to scream?
No, sir. Nobody wants you to scream like the baby on the flight. I like the fact that the flight attendant, you can't hear it in the clip, says, because you're a man. You are a man and not a baby. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven is on vacation. You know, you see a lot of wacky things go down on flights. But you know that you're not supposed to go crazy, right? That's kind of the obvious thing.
I mean, it's implied when you come and sit down and you're in a large, crowded group of people, especially when you're going to be trapped at 40,000 whatever feet in the air. Yeah, no, freaking out's probably bad.
Oh, he got greeted by cops at the airport and was escorted out of the airport once he landed.
Oh, yeah, no, that guy's about to have a bad day.
Yeah, seriously. No, he had a bad day. If you were given 15 seconds, you could yell about anything you want on a plane, no repercussions whatsoever, no cops involved. I'm going to set a timer. What would you be yelling about? On your marks, get set. Producer Sean, you're first. Go.
All right, food. I'm sick of them telling me, oh, it's a 2-hour flight, sir. There's no food. I don't care. We pay a lot of money to fly in these planes. I want free food. I don't care if it's a 10-minute flight, an hour-long flight, an 8-hour-long flight. Food. Give me food.
Time. You feel better?
I feel a lot better. I'm not getting the food I want when I'm on the flight, but I do feel better.
All right. Well, that's good.
You sounded hangry.
Very hangry.
You seem like the defeated hangry. Like, you know, like when you're mad, but then you're just really tired because your blood sugar has dropped too low, you know?
I'm glad you said something about tired, Anna.
All right. Oh, is that what yours is? On your mark, get set, yell about whatever you want on the plane. Go.
I can't sleep on planes. I cannot absolutely do it. And part of it is the fact that, you know, I'm very particular about my sleep. But part of it is the fact that there is absolutely no room in those cabins whatsoever. And no, I'm not going to spend the money on first class. All right. I'm flying 7 hours to go somewhere.
That was it. Your 15 seconds to yell about stuff on a flight. I feel like you could have had another 13 minutes.
Clearly more passionate about his than I was.
Yeah. Well, you're angry.
Right. And I am exhausted and I am not happy about it.
All right. I have 15 seconds to yell about anything I want. What do I want to yell about? It's not even what's on the plane. It's getting on the plane. When they call your cabin number and it says number 3 on your ticket, why are you getting up when you're number 4? Did you forget how to count? Did you think you're going to cut in front of me and that I'm not going to realize it? Because not for nothing, I paid to be front. Oh, God, I had so many more things to say about that. That's disappointing.
That was the beginning of a soliloquy
there. Oh, gosh.
That's Anna's one-woman show entitled I Paid to Get On First.
But why does everybody wait out there and they start crowding around the gate? There's a reason why we have order and numbers on our tickets so that we get on one by one like civilized human beings.
They're gaming the system, is survival of the fittest in an airplane.
And you're so right, though, Anna. And I think it's also like when you get, when the plane lands and you're getting off of it, it's just chaos.
Yeah.
Everyone, even people in back of you are just trying to push forward and get in front of everyone else. It's like, it's just so unorganized.
If you're in row 27, do you think you're really getting off first? Do you really believe that?
No.
No.
I'll tell you who I am getting off before. Row 28.
Right. It's an interesting question. Do you believe that everything happens for a reason? Earlier this week, we were talking about 76% of people say that they have been ghosted at some point in their life. So we asked, have you ever been ghosted and what happened? And this call came in.
Yes, actually. During the pandemic, I matched with someone on Match, and we were talking. Everything was going good. And then we decided to meet up. So we go out. I go out there at the restaurant. Oh, wait, I'm waiting. I text her. Never shows up. And, yeah, don't know why. And it's not even, I'm not even annoyed that she didn't show up. It's just I had to pay the toll to come back home.
Now, you were mad about the tolls.
I'm mad about that. But on a plus side, the next person I matched with after her, we're celebrating almost 2 years of marriage. And then next month, we're welcoming our daughter.
Let me tell you, Mike, I believe in things happening for a reason, and there must have been some force holding her back because they knew that the next one was the one that was right, and they wanted to make sure you met her when you were supposed to.
You're absolutely right, and my wife said the same thing. She's like, hey, everything God does for a reason. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been thinking about this, producer John, because I am a big, big proponent and believe that everything happens for a reason in your life.
And that was a lovely story. I've been ghosted many times. It has happened quite often. I don't know that there was a reason behind all of this.
No?
No.
Maybe because the right one isn't there yet.
Maybe.
Have you ever felt like sometimes when things, bad things happen, it's only going to lead to better things? Because I really, like, I mean, you could call me an optimist all you want, but I will say, I feel like in my life, when things have gone gone awry,
yes,
it has only led to bigger and better things. So when I did not get a job, it's because the next job was going to be better. My husband's gotten laid off 3 times, right? And I remember at the first time, he's a corporate guy, finance, so you know how those companies are.
Yeah.
And the first time it was devastating. We found out the night that he got laid off that I was pregnant with our first baby. I thought the world was coming to an end.
Yeah.
He got a job a month later that was so much better and more money with better benefits. And I look back on it and I'm like, he had to get laid off from that job because he wasn't going to leave it. And the fact that we had his baby coming and we needed these better benefits, it all happened for a reason.
I mean, it's funny because especially with career stuff, you know, a lot of times it does end up working out that way. Like for me, the way that I got into radio was kind of an odd serendipitous situation. Like it was a career change for me. I was about 30. I was thinking of going on and doing something different. I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And when I finally started going to night school to learn about broadcasting, they all of a sudden had this this contest. It was like, oh, there's a local radio station that's doing, you know, they called it like intern deathmatch or some corny thing like that. But they're like, they're just inviting people on the air to just talk. And whoever does the best is going to be the new intern and get a foot in the door at this company. Just so happened that I should be like, you know, in school at that time. And so I went on this thing and I ended up winning the thing. And that's how I got my first internship. That's how I got my foot in the door on radio.
Everything happens for a reason. And I did some research on it. And it turns out that most people believe that's true. So I don't know. You can believe what you want, but it helps me sleep better at night. When bad things happen, it happens for a reason.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's kind of like group therapy. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You just get things off your chest. Things that are driving you crazy. This is a non-judgment zone here. 1-800-330-9999. Nate, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh my gosh, if we're at the house and we run out of like something we use all the time, like toilet paper, and you don't tell me we ran out of it, that's all I need to know about you.
I got bad news for you, pal. They're using your paper towels. They're going downstairs. They're using the paper towels. They're doing the waddle. And your septic system is going to pay the price for it. I'm sorry. Listen, I've been that guy before. I'm not now that I'm like an adult and I have to pay for all the bills and stuff like that. But yeah. Oh, kids, they're definitely just using the paper towels.
That makes me crazy. It makes me crazy when they don't refill it. They don't go to the basement. Yeah, no, I understand. But then again, it's like my mom always said, one day you're going to have kids and you're going to learn. And you know what? She was right. Now I'm learning. And this is karma.
I learned.
Savannah, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're always late to pick up your kids from school, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, boy.
Amen. Anna, I worked in an elementary school for a long time in my 20s, and I would do the after school programs. And when you're done with that, at the end of the day, you are done. What you don't want to do is spend 10, 15 minutes tracking down the last kid's parents because they just forgot, especially when it's the same kid. It's always the same kid.
It's so sad. I am so chronically anal about picking up my kids on time. Like, I mean, you see it, John. I run out of here like my hair is on fire every single day.
On the daily, as you should.
Because, well, it's like I can't stand the idea of them standing there by themselves and like waiting for mommy when everybody else has been picked up. Like, it terrifies me. And I know they're safe. Like, it's not a matter of that. It's just a matter of, I remember being a kid and the couple times that my mom was late. Like, you never forget those times.
Yep.
Derek, that's all I need to know about you.
When you say you're 5 minutes away, when you're actually 20 minutes away, that's all I need to know about you.
Everybody has this friend.
Yeah. No, you know what the one that I love the most is parking. They just text you parking.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Seriously? Are you? Are you in the lot right now? Is it that hard to find a spot? Is it that hard? No, you're not. You're on the interstate right now. You haven't gotten off the exit yet. Just be honest, dude.
My favorite is when they just text OMW.
It took me a long time to learn that means on my way. I didn't know what it meant for a long time. I felt dumb asking. And then I finally had to Google it. And I was like, oh, all right. That makes at least some sense.
Yeah. You know what I hate, though, is that when they when it auto-corrects it to on my way with, like, the little exclamation point at the end. The iPhone's making me sound more peppy than I actually want to.
All right. It's your turn now. What is driving you crazy? You want to get it off your chest? All you have to do is call 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You know when people generically say to you, how are you? And you kind of just give a generic response back like, I'm good. How are you? Well, doctors are saying that that doesn't really get to the heart of how people are doing. No kidding, because it's like a generic thing that you say. It's like a hello, right, Producer John?
Yeah, I'm cool. You know, whatever. It's all right.
So they came up with five questions that these experts say that they would rather you start using so that people can get real with their feelings. So instead of just saying the generic, hey, how are you? You ask these things and you'll get a genuine response. Producer John went around the office and he asked people to see what they would say. First one is, what word would you use to describe your life right now? Let's see how it went.
What word would you use to describe your life right now?
Interesting, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know if you're going to get up the next day or not, and what's going to happen during the day. It's always something interesting.
I mean, it got real deep there, right?
It got serious, and that's, I think, to the point of why these questions are a good idea. That's an interesting answer. You have jump-offs for a million different conversations after that. It's not just a, yeah, I'm good. It's, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. What's interesting and why?
The next question is, what's feeling good today and what's feeling hard?
What's feeling good today and what's feeling hard? Just for you, personally.
Wow. What's feeling good? I woke up. Started my day. I'm upright, which is a lot better than I can say for, unfortunately, others. So as long as you wake up in the morning and you've got a purpose, that's a good thing. The bad thing, getting used to new technology.
What?
When you're used to the old technology you've used for a long time, now you're using new technology, there's a learning curve, even for someone who's been doing this a long time.
Is that what's happening to you right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He was just waiting for the opportunity to complain about work. He's like, you know what? I don't even know this guy that well, but this is a good opportunity for me to talk about what's feeling hard, and it's my work.
Right, exactly. Maybe this person can do something about it. Maybe if I broadcast the difficulty of this new technology, something will be done.
Next question that you're supposed to ask people to get a real response and not a generic, I'm good, is how are you doing right now?
Tristan.
Yeah.
How are you doing right now?
I'm okay. You know, I learned a long time ago, a couple years ago, it's okay to be okay. You don't have to be high. You don't have to be low. Just be okay.
I wanted to know what happened a couple years ago to get that on board, right?
I mean, really, like, who hurt you? Who hurt you, Tristan? What happened? And why are you content with okay?
Here's another question you're supposed to ask. How would you describe your feelings lately?
Dana, if you're being completely honest with me, how would you describe your feelings lately?
Very happy. I'm overly happy, but I think that's me all the time, even when I'm sad in a way. That sounds kind of weird, but I think I'm just happy. I don't know. I'm just happy to be alive, man.
Do you think Dana's happy?
I wasn't buying it.
No?
No.
You think that she was just saying that because, like, she had to over-explain why she was happy because you asked her to describe the feelings, but that wasn't the truth?
Yeah, something like that. And I said in the beginning, if you're being completely honest with me, how would you describe your feelings lately? And it was just like, happy?
I mean, also, like, because it's an awkward question. I don't care what the experts say.
Mm-hmm.
One last one. What's been on your mind lately?
What's been on your mind lately?
Lately? That's a great question. What's been on my mind? My sister. She's pregnant. And
congratulations!
Thank you. We're figuring out what the gender of the baby is tonight.
What?
Yeah, so we're all going to get on a Zoom call. It's going to either be, obviously, boy or girl, and we're really excited. So that's been on my mind recently. That's about it.
That's big.
Yeah.
I feel like that one worked. All right. Here's the one thing we've learned today. Asking what's been on your mind lately might be the best one of all. According to experts, you're not supposed to ask how are you to people because it doesn't elicit a genuine response. So they've come up with five questions that you should ask instead of how are you that will get you a real response. Now, my very good friend, the former queen of mean, retired comedian, and failed life coach, Lisa Lampanelli.
It's true. How are you?
I'm fantastic, friend.
Is that a genuine response? How are you?
How are you? You're not supposed to do that because, like, that's, I'm going to be like, I'm great, right?
Of course.
But I'm not great.
That's the thing. I think they're right. They're onto something.
These are the questions that you're supposed to genuinely ask somebody. And you tell me what you think and if you would think I was a weirdo if I just came up to you and these came up, right?
Okay, good.
So we have lunch every other week.
Yes.
And we sit down and we have deep, meaningful conversations for the most part.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I sat down across from you and I said this to you, you have to be honest with me.
I will.
Would you say, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you think that it was genuine and it would have a genuine response?
Right. Go.
Okay. How are you doing right now?
I would go, Anna has gone insane. Mm-hmm. And I don't appreciate this prying into my personal life. However, mm-hmm. I know it's okay to ask that, but it's almost so overly cloying. You know what I mean? It's too like touchy-feely. I think you warm up to that. But off the bat, if you ask that to your grocery bagger,
right?
How are you doing right now? She'd be like, I'm working for $3 an hour. How do you think? I think it's terrible.
That's what we were saying earlier, is that these are the kind of things that, sure, you want to elicit a genuine response, but I'm not going to ask Jessica in HR, like, how are you doing right now? She's going to be like, I'm working, weirdo. What do you mean?
Right. But I also think, too, like, do we want a genuine response? I like the very fake, how are you? I'm great. Let's move on.
I kind of agree with that, because the people that you really love and the ones that you want to know deeper into, you know what to ask them to get that response. I think how are you is just like saying good morning. It's just kind of a write-off, let's check the box, we've acknowledged each other's existence. How about this one? What's been on your mind lately?
Oh, God. I mean, I think I would just be like, too soon. Mm. It's like you've got to warm up first.
No, but seriously, though, what's been on your mind lately, Lisa?
A lot that I hate these questions, okay. And you just ask me, how are you?
All right, well, if you were being completely honest with me, how would you describe your feelings lately?
Oh, my God. No.
Lisa,
no.
This is a real doctor.
I know. But a doctor of what? There's no way.
But if you were being completely honest with me, how would you describe your feelings?
Right now?
Right.
Uncomfortable because you're peering deep into my soul and I don't like intimacy.
All right, here's the next one. You're going to love this.
Oh, no.
What's feeling good and what's feeling hard?
Hate it. First of all, my mind goes dirty all the time. So I'm not going to answer the second part. It's just not right because I'm a woman and I'm a lady and I'm a retired comic. You cannot ask anyone that. Mm-hmm. So difficult might be. But then again, like right off the bat, you're going to really just sit down and splurt what's difficult? No, wrong. Stick with how are you?
What word would you use to describe your life right now?
Oh, my God. Hateful because I'm having lunch with this person who's asking me too many questions.
I just can't believe that this was somebody's life work. Doesn't it feel like time wasted?
It does. Isn't there cures that they could be coming up with for, I don't know, diseases?
I don't know. It would be nice,
Doctor,
right?
Doctor, calm down.
Mm. All right. You can follow Lisa on Instagram at Lisa Lampanelli.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, you only hear about one. Raven is on vacation. Producer John gets to guest today. Pick which one he wants to hear today. Sound good?
Let's go.
All right, number one, man falls through ceiling while hiding from police. Number two.
That's like Mission Impossible gone wrong. Okay.
Pizza delivery man trips suspect on the run from police.
Oh, I saw this video, but I only saw it briefly. Yes. Okay.
And number three, substitute teacher turns middle school classroom into a fight club.
I'll tell you what, I've been a substitute teacher. You'd get in there, you have all kinds of grand ideas, and then things just go wrong. I've been there. I've seen that story already. No, let me get the deep dive on the pizza guy story, because I want to hear all these details.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So a Philadelphia pizza delivery man is getting praise for tripping a suspected car thief that was running from the cops. Now, at the point the police were able to apprehend the suspect because he tripped him. Now, I want you to imagine it. Hmm. Here's this dude delivering a pizza. He's got a pizza in his hand and he's walking to the door and he sees all this chaos and the sirens are going off and now here comes this guy full-fledged running and the police are chasing after him.
Yeah.
And you know what he does? He sticks out his foot. Here is the hero talking about it.
He starts running. I'm like, I got the pizza in my hand. I didn't get the cash yet for the pizza. So I'm like, I'm not going to go back without the money for this fine.
I mean, he's worried about his job. He's like, at this point, if something happens and I can't get the money for this pizza because all these cops are out here chasing after the guy, what am I going to tell my boss?
He's all about the Benjamins. I respect it.
So honestly, feel like I did what anybody else would do. That's kind of how I'm feeling, is like people think I did something extraordinary, and I don't really think I did. I think I just did what you're supposed to do in a situation like that.
He did what he believes everybody was supposed to do. That was almost the humble brag.
Listen, man, you know what? Don't call me a hero. I'm not a hero. Sir, did anybody call you a hero? No, but if they do, don't call me a hero.
Right. He was so proud of himself, though. But you know that he's just waiting. He's like, can somebody call me a hero? I got this. I stuck my leg out. Here he is talking about the incident, the moment where he became that hero.
I stuck my leg out and caught a pretty nasty bruise on it, but it is what it is. I'll survive.
Yeah, he's gonna, so you know, he's got a bruise on his leg now because he stuck his leg out while holding a pizza that had not been paid for, producer John.
You know what this guy? You know what this guy reminds me of? This guy
a
sounds.
Hero? Oh no.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe. But this guy sounds like how I'm afraid I would sound like if I was ever on the news. Like, yeah, man. You know, like I got a pretty gnarly bruise. Like I'm good though. It's all good. Like, he really is just, he's a total bro.
Wait, hold on, wait. I want him to talk about when he thought he wasn't sure if he was going to survive it. Hold on.
He bruised on it, but it is what it is. I'll survive.
He's going to survive the bruise on his knee. Let him look at my four-year-old Dakota. She's got bruises up and down her legs. She's doing all right.
You know, I'd tell him to not be a hero, but guess what, Anna? It's too late.
He's a hero. So a doctor on TikTok says we're all flushing the toilet incorrectly. Now, is it true? Is it true that we're all gross? Well, let's go to the experts.
HealthWise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Jenna, how does one doctor explain that we are flushing the toilet incorrectly?
Here's another doctor getting famous on TikTok, got about 300,000 plus views about the fact that all of America is flushing the toilet wrong. But I do have to say, Anna, this one has a little bit of legitimacy, okay? This is a little bit valid compared to some of the other stuff we've been discussing. So some of us are very nervous about going into public restrooms, right? And they've done these exposés on 2020 and some of these magazine shows showing us that public restrooms aren't as scary as we believe they are. Some people are worried sitting down on a toilet seat is, you know, they're going to catch an STD like chlamydia or gonorrhea.
Yeah.
And people are concerned about toilet seats. And there's reason to be concerned when it comes to flushing the toilet. So germs and feces, right, can be propelled into the air when the toilet is flushed. Many of us don't shut the lid of the toilet. And this TikTok doctor is saying that if you leave the lid up when you flush, it is likely that some of those germs, including E. coli, which is often found in feces in your stool, can be propelled into the air and may land on the toilet seat. So he actually ran a Petri dish on toilets flushed after someone had a bowel movement. This is very glamorous of a study. And they grew out colonies of bacteria. So it is wise, I think, we can take this TikTok doctor's advice, and I think it's wise to shut the top of the toilet lid, while we're flushing. And I have to be honest with you, I'm going to admit it now, Anna, I don't do that.
Right.
And now I'm going to after reading the data.
I don't know anybody that does that. I never even crossed my mind to do that. So, I mean, I understand doing it at home. But, you know, as a mom of a young child, I always get concerned when I'm in public bathrooms. And I'm the mom that puts like 14 rings of toilet paper around the seat before I put my kid on it, you know. And I remember,
me too.
I remember when I was little, my mom used to make me stand and crouch and have to go to the bathroom. I get the whole closing the lid thing when you're in a bathroom, but do you need to do all that with the nest of toilet paper when you're in a public restroom?
So, yeah, like I think that we don't need to put 14 rings of toilet paper around the toilet bowl. The chances of catching something from a toilet seat are incredibly low. And in fact, I've done an article on this also and interviewed the president of the American Society for Microbiology. Mm-hmm. And she told me, to her knowledge, no one has ever acquired an STD on a toilet seat. She's never seen any data from that at all. So the worry in public bathrooms really is people touching sinks and faucet handles, towel dispensers, or even doorknobs, right? So what can happen is you can catch like a common cold, and it can easily be mitigated by just washing your hands. And so if you ever go to a public bathroom, you don't have to worry if you're paranoid about germs. Just make sure you wash your hands exiting. And to be honest, like I'll take a paper towel, and I'll use the paper towel to open the doorknob, to touch the doorknob and then open the door.
Yeah.
You know, I hate being sick. I don't know about you.
No,
but
me too.
I don't love it.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And like when one kid comes home, you know, you're all going to get it, and it's just the worst. Yeah.
I know. I quarantined my husband, actually. I put him in a different room whenever he brings anything home. He's a doctor, too, and works at a hospital. Mm-hmm. So he's bringing a lot of stuff in. Mm-hmm. During COVID, I'd wash him down like Silkwood.
He just has to sleep on the couch. He'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Jennifer Wider. You can find her online at drwider.com. Thank you. Biggest news stories of the week. Producer John is going to sing them to you. Ooh. Go ahead, John. Give them to me.
I'm going to sing the news. All right. Facebook is staring down a class action suit. All of us Facebook users will get a bunch of loot. 725 million split between us all. Take our 13 cents and go have a ball. I mean, how much money are we really expected to get out of this?
So I might be getting the years wrong now. I should have written this down. But I believe that if you've been on Facebook in the last 16 years.
Yeah, I read 16 too.
Yeah, that's everybody. I mean, name me, unless you're under the age of, I say, maybe 20, there might be a chance that you probably haven't been on Facebook. But yeah. Otherwise, you've been on Facebook. So you're part of this class action lawsuit and you're going to get money back. But it's only $725 million, which sounds like a lot. Yes.
I mean, to say the sentence only $725 million is insane. But no, you're right. I mean, you split it between a billion Facebook users all
right.
over the world.
What are you going to get? You're going to get a nickel if you're lucky. I don't even know how you get that money. I think you just let it go. You're like, all right, somebody else can take my nickel.
Well, it's funny. There's been a social media theme today. So, you know, the TikTok ban is getting real. All the details have been revealed. It's called the Restrict Act. And there's a chance that it may restrict your TikTok dance. This is people are getting up in arms over this thing. Have you heard about it?
Yeah. All right. But go ahead. Explain.
All right. So it's called the Restrict Act. And that's it stands for something. I can't remember exactly what it is. But it basically gives presidential approval on what shows up on the App Store. So, you know, it's all in the name of like if there's the app is connected to a government that is unfriendly or that may be doing data sharing, they can say no to it. But, you know, kind of puts power in the hands of one person or at least in one branch of government. So,
John,
you know.
Do you want TikTok to go away? Yes or no?
Right. I mean, yes, I do.
It's funny because I probably would have agreed with you 6 months ago.
But then your follower count went up.
Then my follower count. I've noticed ever since that they had that interview with the CEO of TikTok,
yeah.
And he said that he was going to do more. I will say that when I go on TikTok, I get a lot more parental advisory things, like more than I ever did in my life.
If you did not see those things, would it deter you from using TikTok at this point?
I'm not religiously using it like other people, like my father and my mom, which is the weirdest thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that weird?
That's so awesome.
So I lean more towards Instagram. I feel like Instagram is more home for me, even though my TikTok followers triple what it is on Instagram. But I don't know. Instagram feels more at home. TikTok doesn't. But I know that that's not the truth for a lot of people. I am stuck in the middle on this.
You know what it feels like?
Wow.
It feels American.
Okay.
Now, speaking of American, except one of them is from Sweden, this next one is about Metallica. Metallica has got a new album and it's doing really well. All the music videos were performed in ASL. Sign language translations of all the album songs. Go and learn some ASL and you can sing along.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love that Metallica is doing it. They're the first band to do it, to make all their videos American Sign Language on
mm-hmm.
it. They found that woman, and she is so famous for doing sign language at all the festivals.
The Rihanna one, right? She did Rihanna most recently?
Yes. She is incredible. Like, I watch her, and I'm just dancing, and I'm trying to mimic what she's doing, and I'm like, I need to learn sign language so badly.
Well, that's it. Even if you don't speak ASL, it's just like having another hype man up there. It's so cool.
Yeah, congratulations to Metallica for figuring that out.
Well done.
The right way to clean your meats, fruits, and vegetables. Is there such a thing? Chef Plum from the Food Network, host of Restaurant Road Trip. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Plum, you look at me like I'm out of my mind, but when I was a kid, my mom used to wash and clean her chicken all the time. And I did it at the beginning, and now I don't. I take it right out of the package of like the chicken breasts, thinly sliced. That's usually all I make.
Right.
And I just cook with it. Is that disgusting? Be honest.
No, it's not disgusting because most of the time these things are pretty clean when they go in. It's a bit of a misnomer that you need to do that because you're going to do a couple of things wrong here. So when you take the chicken out of that package and you go to rinse it off in your sink, you're getting raw chicken everywhere,
mm-hmm.
all over the place. And you may clean the sink out, you know, at my house, I'm a maniac about it. I actually soap and wipe the sink all out and everything. But it gets around the countertop. It can get on everything because it splashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that at all. What I do recommend doing is drying it off. Right. So get some paper towels and get it nice and dry. When it's dry, it'll sear better. It'll cook more evenly. Because think about it. If there's moisture there, when you heat that moisture up, what's it do? It wants to boil. So instead of actually searing, you're now boiling. So if you're going to cook with it, dry it off. You don't need to rinse it off, though. That's a little bit crazy.
Dry it off. You don't have to wash it. Any other tips for cooking your chicken?
You want to make sure, if at all possible, take it out of the refrigerator a little bit beforehand. Cooking it from cold temperature is not good.
Okay. Now let's move on to your red meats, your steaks.
Sure.
Do you clean? I mean, I think that one, nobody ever cleans that, right?
Yeah, you don't want to rinse that off. But again, I can't emphasize enough the dry part. Make sure it's nice and dry. When you look at a steak, for instance, let's say a New York strip, you know, nice long New York strip, has a nice fat cap on the end of it, and then it moves up here, there's a lot more meat. I always take a good close look at that. If you see any of what's called silver skin, it's a thin, I'm trying to sound gross on the radio because I know sometimes you describe meats, it can be kind of gross, but it's a thin layer of a membrane that goes around underneath the fat.
Okay.
Right? It can be really, really chewy. So you want to take that off and just take a nice sharp knife, poke it in, slide it, it'll pop right off. And if you want to be really fancy, sprinkle a little pinch of salt on it about 3 or 4 minutes before you cook it so that salt has a chance to set into it.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, but now that we're going to get to the things that are more controversial.
Let's go.
Okay. You always hear about the pesticides on fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So what are you supposed to clean and what aren't you? Because I don't wash potatoes because I feel like I peel them anyway. So why would I wash them first?
Yeah, so I don't have a big problem with not washing your potatoes. I know some people do kind of get crazy about it. But if you're going to peel the potatoes, you're taking the outside layer off anyway. If you're going to eat the outside of it, I definitely would want to rinse it off. That's kind of the rule I go by. So for instance, in my house, we don't peel carrots, right? Because that outside layer has so much nutrition in it. But we will take, you know, put them under some water and wipe them off with a paper towel. So they're not like dirt and stuff on them, but you still keep them nice and clean that way and maintain that outer layer, which has a lot of vitamins in it. So when it comes to your vegetables, don't go crazy about trying to worry about cleaning them. You know, give them a rinse if you need to. But if you're going to take the outside layer off, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
But you're supposed to rinse off all the vegetables and all the fruit, or no?
So fruit, sometimes they spray something on there called food grade wax, right? Which gets sprayed on there to help it last longer in the grocery store. Because in our country, we haven't figured out yet that things like tomatoes and stuff, we shouldn't keep cold. So they spray the stuff on there to keep it and make it last longer. Same thing with apples and oranges. If you're going to eat the skin, clean the outside.
Okay. You said about the tomatoes and keeping them cold.
Right.
So I put them in the fridge.
No. And let me explain to you why.
Okay.
So people put tomatoes in the fridge so much that in our country, we've gotten to where now everyone's heard the term GMO, right? Mm-hmm. Genetically modified organism. We actually, some companies have tested and have gotten into market where they inject Pacific salmon genes into tomatoes as they grow to allow them not to degrade in a refrigerator. So what happens in a refrigerator, the cell walls of the tomato break, it almost like bursts, which is what gives those tomatoes that chalky texture in your mouth.
Oh my, I was wondering why they're always gross.
Yeah, that's why. Keep them out of the fridge. You don't need to put tomatoes in the fridge.
All right, Chef Plum, I learned a lot. I feel like I should be taking notes. This is the most serious conversation we've ever had lives.
And I like now you think I'm smart. That's even better.
I do think you're smart. All right, chefplum.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Aubrey and Chris. Aubrey, what's going on?
Hey, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. We have three kids, 9, 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old, so it's busy. Basically, I've been going to a yoga class a few nights a week, 3 nights a week, and that's just sort of been my way to get out of the house and do self-care and just stay active and get a little break. But recently, my friend asked me to join a book club. So it's on Sundays, and I was excited to join, and apparently this is a problem. Like, it's just, I'm going out too many times, so that's the issue we have.
Okay. Chris, what's going on?
I mean, she basically laid it out. I mean, like, the reality of the situation is that I'm working, like, 40, 50, 60-hour weeks, depending on work. And, you know, when I come home, I'm exhausted. And I know that she's exhausted, too, from doing stuff at the house. But, like, you know, taking all this time and doing all these additional things, all these fun extra things, and then, like, I'm left after a long day of work having to take care of the kids and do all this other stuff. Like, when do I get some fun time? So, like, I'm not saying that she can't do the book club or she can't do yoga, but what I'm saying is that we've got to cut back on one of these nights.
I mean, why cut back, Chris? Why not just throw in your own stuff? Listen, you got to understand, after she has spent all day long with the kids, she's spent all day long at work, too. It's, you can't say that you've been, like, I have work all day, and then you come home and you got to take care of the kids. It's the same thing for her. The parenting job does not end. You got to go out. You got to get a change of scenery every once in a while.
That's it. My job is not like supposed to be 24 hours a day, every single day. If he goes to work for the day,
I'm working for the day. But Chris, be it parenting.
Yeah, no, definitely. Nobody is underestimating what you do, Aubrey. Absolutely. Without a doubt. But Chris, what is your, do you have a compromise on this? What do you want her to do? Just to stay home and do nothing?
Well, listen, and I'm not like in a disagreement that what she does isn't work. Like, it's very hard work. And I appreciate and respect the fact that she stays at home and has a lovely home and has raised our kids well while I'm off, you know, earning the bread for the family. But like, with that said, you know, she gets this extra time to herself. I don't have extra time. You know, I don't enjoy being at work all day and then coming home and then having to do additional work. So, like, I'm just saying, like, if she wants to do yoga, that's great. If she wants to do the book club, that's great. But three nights a week and now possibly pushing to four nights a week is a bit much.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Chris. You work a hard day, you come home, and then taking care of three kids at night so she can go out is an additional workload, and maybe four nights is too much. Maybe the audience will agree with you, but they may see Aubrey's side too. It's four nights, but you're not being gone for 10 hours. It's a couple hours each time just to recharge and get yourself fresh. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. It's a tough thing, and nobody is saying that being a stay-at-home mom is an easy job. It's not. But Aubrey, she says, listen, I need some time to myself. So three nights a week, I go to yoga, and now I want to add a book club on Sunday. I don't know what the big deal is, but her husband, Chris, definitely has a problem.
Yeah, Chris is saying, wait a minute, we're adding a fourth night now? Seriously? I mean, this is, I need some time off, too. What about me? I feel like every time that you're leaving the house, that's putting additional stress on me, and that's just too much.
All right, let's see. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Amy, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I mean, going to the gym, especially yoga, is only going to reduce her stress, improve her health in the long run, and she'll be around longer for her kids if she can, like, keep up her health. And he can go to the gym, too. And, like, if he's going to the gym, he can't take that from her. And she interacts with adults and peers every day at work. Book club, that's the only time she's interacting with other adults.
You know, she brings up a good point, Amy, is that interacting with other adults, you forget that when you're a stay-at-home mom, that ability to be able to talk to another adult and be in an adult conversation, like, it means a lot to just get away and do that.
It's so crucial. And plus, it's not like she's socializing. Like she said, she's going to the gym. This is a basic part of, like, everybody's day for a lot of people. That's all she's trying to do here.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Aubrey's a stay-at-home mom, but three nights a week she goes to yoga, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but now she wants to add a Sunday book club, and her husband Chris says, no, that's too much. I come home from a long day of work, and now you're leaving again? It's like I have to do another job when your job is supposed to help us take care of the kids.
Having kids is nuts, and Chris just feels like this is going to overwhelm him. This is just too many days a week. It's not that she doesn't deserve some time to herself. It's that 4 days seems a little bit excessive.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Christina, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side on this one. One thing that she may not be taking into account is that she doesn't get any breaks while she's home with the kids, and she's also probably saving him at least $1,000 a week in child care. So if she did go to work, they'd have to be paying all of that. I mean, and she is working all day, so she does need a break, and she doesn't get that break when he's not home.
Erica, what do you think?
So at first, before I heard all the details, I was on the wife's side because I'm a mom. I have two kids, a lot. But after hearing the details, I think 4 days a week is a little much. I think they have to come to some kind of compromise. Maybe like the 3 days a week and like every other Saturday in the morning or in the evening, something like that. But 4 days a week with them working is a lot, right?
I have to say 4 days is a lot. I would say that too. I would be happy with two nights a week that were my own time that I knew I had that retreat. But then again, I work a full-time job, so I'm not sure what it would be like to be home all day.
I think the problem is we're thinking in terms of days and not hours. I mean, these are not all-day activities. These are like 1.5 to 2 hour activities. So is it 4 days or is it 8 hours a week? Feels different that way.
Samantha, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. Being a stay-at-home mom, like you guys said, nobody thinks it isn't a job. But for her, she needs to get out. She needs to be able to do something for herself that isn't for the children. Because if she's not thinking of herself, she's going to lose herself one day. And it'll affect the children and possibly the marriage.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Aubrey, our audience agreed with you. It's not four nights a week. It's four times that you're leaving the house for a couple hours each time to give yourself a break. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
No, yeah, you got to have that change of scenery. And Chris, dude, you got to look at this for the opportunity that it is, man, all right? I mean, she's out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, a little bit Sunday. Okay, cool. What's going on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, man? Plan some stuff. Figure some stuff out. Remember that it can't be an all-night thing. It's got to just be a couple hours like she's doing. But, you know, she's got this time. No one's saying that you can't take a little bit of time for yourself, too, as long as you're both putting the family first. And it sounds like you're already doing that. Take advantage.
Well, listen, although I disagree with the ruling, I'm happy that my wife is able to get that time for herself. And if people think that 4 days a week is good, then you know what? She's earned it. She deserves it.
You got to be happy to hear that, Aubrey, huh?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Here it comes. It's the Craigslist Price is Right.
Normally around this time, we play Can't Beat Raven pop culture trivia, but Raven is on vacation this week, so when he comes back on Tuesday, the jackpot will be at $2,100. In the meantime, it's Craigslist Price is Right for $100 Target gift cards. Denise, you ready to play today?
Yes. Hi, Anna. I'm ready.
All right. Here's how it works. I'm going to describe for you an item that's available for sale right now on Craigslist. All you have to do is listen to what producer John guesses the price is. Then you have to say, is it higher, lower, or is that the actual retail price of what it's being sold for right now? Sound good?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Producer John, I don't know if you know this, but I am a huge Marilyn Monroe fanatic. I'm one of those people.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Right.
So when I saw this, I was like, oh, well, this makes sense. A 1995 U.S. Marilyn Monroe Legends of Hollywood 32-cent stamp sheet.
Ooh, oh, a whole sheet. Okay.
And then it says Scott 2967. I don't know what that means.
Probably irrelevant. Continue. Yes.
Okay. And then I'm going to read what it says. Marilyn Monroe, old vintage collectible. What they forgot was legend, but okay, we'll move on from
okay,
that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
U.S. postage stamp, Legends of Hollywood. 32-cent stamp sheet, Scott, number 2967. Again, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Sheet of 20 USA stamps. The Postal Service honored Marilyn Monroe with the issuance of a 32-cent commemorative stamp on June 1st, 1995 at Universal Studios Hollywood in Universal City, California. Designed by award-winning artist Michael Diaz of New Orleans, Louisiana, the Marilyn Monroe stamp is the first stamp in the Legends of Hollywood series, which commemorates film personalities who have made an indelible mark on the American motion picture industry.
Oh, okay, that's a thing. It's the first in, like, a series that is still going on. Maybe, we don't know, but okay.
Condition, perfect. Kept in the plastic frame all these years, frame is included. This will make a fantastic gift for any Marilyn collector. Okay. Are you ready to look at a picture of it?
I am ready. Let me see this thing. Oh, yeah. I mean, you must, Anna, you must want this a little bit. There's a part of you that, like wants to get this.
Well, truthfully, I've been getting ready to move, and I got rid of a lot of stuff. Like, people buy you, when they know that you're a Marilyn collector, they buy you the most random things, you know?
Huh.
So I had, like, a Marilyn Monroe switchblade that I wasn't sure what to do with.
That's a very specific item.
Yeah, I was like, all right. I remember when they gave it to me, it was, like, my husband's, like, best man, one of his best friends. I'm like, thank you. It was a wedding gift.
Yeah, right? yeah.
So I got rid of a lot of that stuff.
I would not trust that friend on a weekend with your husband, but okay. All right.
Anyway, but it's very cool. And the fact that 1995 stands for 32 cents and now we're in 2023 and they're almost double is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think the cost of this stamp sheet is?
I mean, 1995 isn't that long ago. I mean, this is a 20-something-year-old thing. That being said, it's the first of a series, and it's Marilyn Monroe. Like you said, people freak out about stuff like this.
It's almost 30 years, but go ahead.
It's 28 years, to be exact. Mm-hmm. Ha-ha, mental math. But I'm going to go with $100. I feel like someone would definitely pay $100 for this.
All right. So, Denise, what do you think? Actual retail price of this, higher than $100, lower than $100, or is that the actual price?
I'm going to say higher.
Oh, gosh, Denise, I'm so sorry. Actual retail price, $10.
What?
$10.
Oh, man, I shot that thing to the moon.
No,
that's my fault.
Somebody should definitely buy that for me. That's what I'm saying. All right. We'll take the next caller at 1-800-330-9999 to win this Target $100 gift card.